Okay, the boy said to Daf, today's Daf is Daf Kif Chuf Beis. We're holding the last two lines of Kif Chuf Aleph Umid Beis. And we're going to continue talking now about the division of the Nachlois in the times when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael together with Yeshia Benin. Ibailu, more clear to Zashala. Eretz Yisrael the Shvotim Iflik, by Dilma the Karfith Gabri Iflik. When Eretz Yisrael was divided up into Nachlois, did they divide them among the 12 Shvatim, or they divide them among the 600,000 individuals? What's the difference between one and the other? The difference is how much each one got. If it's Lishvatim Iflig, that means that Eretz Yisrael was divided up into 12 lots. Each one of the Shvatim got a lot, and the assumption is that those lots were basically all the same, either in quantity or in quality. As we'll get into Gemara, we'll discuss that a little further, Mi'at Hashem and Kif Chuf Beis. But the assumption is that all of them were basically the same size, and therefore Reuven is getting the same size as Shimon, and Shimon is getting the same size as Yehuda, and Yehuda the same size as Yisachar, and so on and so forth. Again, when we say size, it means either from a quantitative basis or on a qualitative basis, as we'll see shortly. Oidilmor, perhaps it was given out the Karf of Gavri. It was given out based on the number of people. So if there were a marshal 600,000 people, there were 600,000 portions, which were all more or less the same. And now the question is, what's the nafkimina between these two tzedadim? A big nafkimina. Reb David says himself is a big nafkimina. According to the second tzad, everybody got basically the same. All 600,000, everybody got more or less the same.
The popular vote versus electoral college.
Exactly.
Okay, good. I guess that's a nice parallel.
No, I think when the Constitution was being drafted, they looked back at some of these examples.
At this Gemara.
Not this Gemara, but from Tanakh, to talk about these things.
Uh-huh, okay.
Tanakh from Yeshua, I think they actually cited this.
Good. If you hold the Shvatim Iflik, then there could be major, major differences between a Ruveni and a Shemoini. In other words, those Shvatim, you have to look back in Parshas Pinchas, but a Shevet that had, for instance, 50,000 people, and a Shevet that had, for instance, 30,000 people, they would get more or less the same amount of land. So that means that the people of the 50,000 Shevet, each one of them got a slightly smaller portion than those that were, for instance, a Shevet that had 30,000 people, because each one of them would have gotten a larger portion. And that's the Shaila of the Gemara. It's Toshima. Let's try to go and be poshit from a Beferish Pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, Al pi hagoyro techolek nachlosoi, bein rav lima'ot. What does Rav Lema'at mean? If you're going to go according to the second sad of the Iboyet, that everybody's getting the same amount, so then everybody's getting the same. What's the Rav Lema'at? Some are getting more, some are getting less. But according to the first pshat, the first sad, it's perfect. That in fact those Shvatim that had very large population, each one of the members of that Shevet got a ma'at, he got a smaller portion. And those Shvatim that had a smaller population, each one of the members of that Shevet got a larger portion. And therefore, Bin Rav Lama'at makes a lot of sense. Right. I have a Rai from a Braisa. And Rishbam is already bothered by the fact that once I have a Beferish Apostik, what do I need a Braisa for? And the Rishbam points out, because as we'll see shortly in Mi'at Hashem in the Braisa and in the Gemara following the Braisa, then Rav Lema'at can also be interpreted slightly differently. And therefore you don't have a conclusive Rai from the Pasuk, and that's why we bring the Braisa as further support. The Oid, Tanya, we learned the Braisa. And this Braisa, as well as the aftermath, the discussion of the Braisa, will take us to the bottom of the Amud and even into the Amud base. So in other words, it's quite a lengthy braisa. It's a very simple braisa. V'oid tanyu lindu braisa. See there, it's Yisrael she tischalik lishloi she osir shvatim. She betchil vein ischalke ella lishneim osir shvatim. In the times of Yeshua, it was only divided among 12 shvatim. Those 12 shvatim were the shifteka minus Levi. But Yosef's portion was divided into two, Ephraim and Menashe, based on the pasuk of Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvein Meshimon Yuli, and therefore Yosef got a double portion through his sons, and Levi didn't get a full portion, rather they just got the Ori Halvim, which were dispersed throughout Klal Yisrael. Anyway, so Eretz Yisrael was Neschalka to 12 Shvatim, Lo Asad Lo Avoy, Eretz Yisrael will be divided up into 13 portions. Who is going to get that 13th portion? The Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit further down. And it was divided up according to money. Now what does that mean, it was divided up according to money? So in the Hava Minah we learn, as we're going to see in another short moment, because certain parts of Eretz Yisrael were more fertile than other parts of Eretz Yisrael, it would not have been equitable to go and give exactly the same portions to Reuven and Shimon and Yehuda and Yisachar, etc., if some portions were less fertile lands and other portions were more fertile. So what did they do to cover or to take care of that discrepancy? They would have to go and give kesef. And therefore those people that got a better portion would go and pay to those people that got a lesser portion, they would give them money. And that's what the Braisa continues on. When it's Chalke Ele B'Kesef, Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, Bein Rav Lema'ot. Ah, so Rav Lema'ot over here.
Does that mean they're commoners?
Exactly. So this is what we were pointing out before, that Rishbam was pointing out. Bein Rav Lema'ot doesn't mean that each individual got a bigger portion or a smaller portion, but qualitatively some got bigger portions and some got worse portions, for which they had to go and make up the difference with money. Like the Braisa continues, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, and Rishbam points out, it doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it says Omer Rabbi Yehuda, to signify that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing, but rather he's just demonstrating what we were just talking about. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, So'ab Yehuda, Shove Chomish So'in Begalev. A person that got a base So'ab Yehuda, that was worth the same as five So'in in Gol, in terms of the fertile ground, in terms of how productive that ground would be. So therefore, to even it out, since he's getting five and the other's getting one, five minus one gives you four, so you would have to go and give him the difference of two sa'a. You measure what the value of two sa'a is, and he would have to go and give him that kesef. The person that received the sa'a, Yehuda, would have to go and give the two sa'a value to the person in the goal to even out between the two of them.
When I can watch the land, those have it.
Oh, so if a zeh zeh go to miet shem, the Gemara is going to in fact have a machloikas about that on the bottom of the Amud. And as Rishbam points out, that we're saying that the kesef was used to make up for the discrepancy in quality is only the havamina. Lamaskona, we're going to change the pshat that has nothing to do with the fertile nature of the ground. Rather, it's going to have to do with the distance from and to Yerushalayim. We'll talk about that as we get towards the bottom of the Amud. But Shkoyah, for bringing it up already, remember at this time, make sure we will deal with that a little bit more as we get through the Gemara. And now we're continuing on and talking Vaita, how they divided up Eretz Yisrael, and it's Chalk El Begoyro. It wasn't that Yeshua and the Nesiim went and pointed and said, you get this, you get that. Everything was based on a Goyro, Shenemar. Ach b'Goyro yecholek es ha'aretz. So techolek nachlosai. Through a Goyro, the Eretz Yisrael was divided up. And when it's chalke l'bur v'tuvim, it was done based on the Uvetum, means that they went to the Kohen Gadol. As we'll see in a moment, that was Elazar. And Elazar HaKohen would go and ask the Urim V'Tum, that means the Choshen, Cohen, tell me, what does Reuven get, and what does Shimon get, and what does Yehuda get? And the Urim V'Tum would light up, the Choshen, the Avni Choshen would light up, and he would know what each one of the Shvatim would get. Shenemar, as it said in the Pasuk, Al Pi HaGoyro. Now, what does Al Pi HaGoyro prove about the Urim V'Tum? We said before, in Schalka Ela B'Goyro. That's Ach B'Goyro. Fine. So Al Pi HaGoyro L'Chayna only repeats it a second time. What does it have to do with the Urim V'Tum? Rishbam doesn't address that. However, the Rabbeinu Gershom says here on the side, mine is roughly 15 lines from the top of Rabbeinu Gershom, where it says, "Dichsiv Al Pi Hashem." Does anybody have that? Hainu Urim V'Tum.
That's too small.
Hainu Urim V'Tum Dichsiv Al Pi Yavoyu Val Pi Etzeyu, that Klal Yisrael would go Al Pi, meaning based on whatever the Urim V'Tumim would go and decide. Now it's time to move. We have it in this week's parasha, we have it next week's parasha in Baloyscha, when Klal Yisrael were always on the move from place to place to place. These decisions were made by the Urim V'Tumim, and that's the Al Piv Yetzeo. Therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is, since here it says Al Pi HaGoyro, just like that Al Piv Yetzeo means you ask the Urim V'Tumim, here too, you ask the Urim V'Tum. And the Bryson now tells us in very, very dramatic detail how this worked at the times of Shubinam. Okay, so how did this work? Elazar, who was the Kohen Gadol Malubish with the Urim V'Tum, he was wearing all of the Shmoyne Begudim, literally.
Why go to... Oh, yes, Elazar, go to Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu.
Because he wasn't there.
It's 7 years after
Kibbutz.
This is the
Yeshua Ben-Nun's time, exactly. And what does it say? Elazar HaKohen would go and wear Elazar HaKohen Gadol, would wear the Urim V'Tumim, all the Shemayim Begadim, including Urim V'Tumim, which is part and parcel of the Choshen. For Yeshua B'Chol Yisrael under the fun of Yeshua Ben-Nun, and Klal Yisrael was standing there. And in addition to Elazar HaKohen Gadol with the Urim V'Tumim, they also had a kalfi. Kalfi means a box in which they would go and put in lats. And there were two boxes. Kalfi Shel Shvatim, the Kalfi Shel Tchumen. One of them had in it 12 lats with the 12 names of the Shvatim. And the other one had 12 names of individual lats and territories in Eretz Yisrael. Territories, a very good term, territories in Eretz Yisrael, which would be subdivided and handed out.
What about where the Beluchah was going to be, like, for example, where they said it to the Beguno, that the Yerushalayim, and this...
About the Mosaic. Anyway, so these two Kalfis, Munach and Lefanav, they were standing there on the table in front of him. And now Elazar HaKohen with Mecham Baruch HaKodesh through the instrumentality of the Urim V'Tumim, the Oimer, and then the Urim V'Tumim would light up and would say, Zevulun Oile. Zvulun should go up to, in other words, should go and take its chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and tchum akoy oile imay. Zvulun gets akoy. So based on the letters inscribed on the avnei choshen, which lit up as a result of the shaila of the Kohen Gadol, it would light up, and then the Kohen Gadol would say, Rabbosai, I just saw the Urim V'Tumim, it says Zvulun, it says Akoy, these two go together. Now there may have been those that would be Chas V'Sholom doubters and would say, maybe he just made that up, or maybe he doesn't like the Zvulun people, that's why he wants them to be all the way at Akoy, all the way up north. So then Torah Bekalfi Shel Shvatim. The Torah explains Rishbam means that there was someone there, and perhaps we're referring to he himself, or Rishbam says, Irvei Hamamuna. If you see about 6 lines into the wide lines, Irvev HaMamuna Lekach, there was a special lats mover and shaker, and he went and Irvev, he mixed all the lats up as a Shtoriz Yofa, very, very well. Lahavdul, like those people that know how to go and do the cards, they know how to take a new deck of cards and to mix the shuffle. Oh, he knew how to do the shuffle. So he knew how to go and shuffle all the lats inside this kalfi. Shaloyoimu, people shouldn't say midas lokachazu sheyideh makosuba, that he saw the one on the top and therefore that was his zvul and he took it out. No. Every time they mix it again and again and again, up and down, back and forth. Kimoy beitzim trufois beim trufois bekar, that when you go and do scrambled eggs, you go and scramble them first in the plate and then afterwards you pour them to go and make your scrambled eggs, etc. They say that there was an American bucher that went and asked the chef in the kitchen at the yeshiva, he says, could you please make me a be'a miturefes? Be'a miturefes means what he thought was a scrambled egg. But in Eretz Yisrael, they use the term mituraf. Or miturefes means someone who is not 100%. A bissel sedrait. So he didn't realize. So he used the lashon of the Mishnah, be'a miturefes, that you have to go and mix it up. But he didn't realize that has a different connotation in modern day Ivrit. A bein mituraf would mean an egg that is nebuch, somewhat deranged. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara,
what did he answer?
He probably didn't know what to answer.
He was plenty of them.
He had plenty of them outside. You don't have to come here. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, so that's the Torah that the person mixed them all up, and then again, either Elazar or that Mamuna put his hand in. So you had now kind of a confirmation that what the Elazar HaKohen had said based on the Urim V'Tumim was exactly the same lots that he drew from the two kalfis. And And again, Torah Bekalfi Shal Shvatin, Va'ala Biyad Naftali, Torah Bekalfi Shal Tchumin, Va'ala Biyad Tchum Genaisin. The Rishbam points out, why does our Gemara say Zvulin and then Naftali? What about Reuven and Shimon and Yehuda? Why didn't it go in order? Says Rishbam, that's the proof that this was not intended to be something in order, but rather totally based on Urbitumim, totally based on Lot. If Zvulun came out first, then it was Zvulun first. And if Naphtali came out second, Naphtali came out second. And then if it was God or Don or Asher, whatever came out, that's what came out. V'chein kol shev v'shevet.
If they're doing the Ruach HaKodesh, why do they need the lots then to
convince all of the people that everything is being done 1,000% accurately.
So then why did you use the lots then? I mean, if it's a question of why do you need the confirmation? It's either you trust Ruach HaKodesh or you don't trust it and you just have the lots. Why do you?
Everybody trusts Ruach HaKodesh. The question is, it's the person who's dispensing that Ruach HaKodesh. Elazar HaKohen Gadol.
Validated Elazar.
It certainly validated what Elazar was saying. Elazar is the one that was able to decipher the message on the Urim V'Tumim, and somebody might have said, "Oh, I know why he gave Zvulun Akkai. That Akkai is all the way up north. Ah, he probably doesn't like the Zvulunites. He probably had some skirmish with them, some dispute, and this confirmed that whatever he said was Emes V'Yatim V'Nochem V'Kayim V'Yosha, and no, there would be no doubt that everybody did that. It was totally Al Pi Hashem."
Similar proof from Korach.
Yeah.
After Korach all died as men, and Aaron survived, they had afterwards the lots with the sticks, and they're also confirmation. Needs more confirmation.
If you look at the Rishbam also confirms what Mendy is saying on the second and the third wide lines of Rishbam, end of the second line, Vayimachavin, beginning of the third line, Baruch HaKadosh Kolayimah Be'urim V'Tumim, Shishayalim Tchil Be'urim V'Tumim, Koidim Shiyitref HaMamunah Be'Kalti. First they would ask Urim V'Tumim, Ubekach, by doing both, Miskara Daitan Shay Yisrael, Shiroyim Sha Goyrul Haya Oila Kimoi Shinis Nabit Khila, the Yoidim Shahaluki Yeshorihi, Fulhaya Miranin Bidover Ashvatim Rubim. The big Shvatim that had 50,000 or 60,000 people said, "Hey, it's just not fair. How come that lousy small shave that only has 30,000 is getting the same big portion as us? Then we have 50,000 or 60,000. And people say, there must be some problem over here. By now that we see Elazar HaKohen mit Urim V'Tumim.
7 years ago, I thought it was a validated Elazar.
It is a validation of Elazar, and it's a validation of anyone that had any tightness. They shouldn't go and say that there's something amiss over here. Everything was appropriated correctly and allocated correctly, Al Pi Hashem, based on both the Goyel and based on the Urim V'Tumim.
There were 7 years of Chiluk before the Chiluk. Mm-hmm. It was already a whole cycle.
He was already 7 years in the business, at least. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, V'loy kachaluk aso, as we see from this Braisa in great detail, this is going to be the second raya to the original shaila that we asked. We asked with Eretz Yisrael, the Shvatim Iflig, or the Karf of Gavri Iflig. It's obvious that the major subdivisions were, according to the Shvatim, based on Goyro, based on Urim V'Tumim, and only subsequently, once each Shevet got its portion, then internally inside the Shevet, then they had to go and divide it up to the 30, 40, 50,000 Yidin that were in that particular Shevet. The chaluk is going to be different. Oilam hazeh, odam yesh li soda lovan, ein li soda pardis, soda pardis ein li soda lovan. According to Yeshua's subdivisions and according to the allocations, all those that got soda lovan, which means a field for tvua, a grain field, did not receive a pardis, didn't receive an orchard. And those that received orchards didn't receive grain fields. It was one or the other. Every individual will get a multicolored chelik, multi-layered, if you will, a little bit in the har, in the mountains, b'shvela on the plains, b'emek in the valleys, shenema, like it says in the Pasik, shah Reuven echad, shah Yehuda echad, shah Levi echad. The Lashon of echad means everybody's going to get uniform, the same type of chelik. Nobody's going to go and get a grain field to the exclusion of a vineyard or an orchard. Everybody's going to get a little bit of everything. And another major difference. It's not going to be Elazar HaKohen with the Nesiei Ho'eda, mit Agoiro, mit Urim V'Tumim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechalik lehen b'atzmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kaviyochel, is going to tell everybody what chelik he gets. Shenemar, Pei lemachlekusam, niyom Hashem. Kadosh Baruch himself will do the chiluk. Good. Anyway, with this we have concluded the Lashon HaBraisa, and now the Gemara is bringing the Raik, Tani Mia Shebetchilei Nesak Elish Neim Osor Shvatim, Shema Aminah L'Shvatim Iflik Shema Aminah. So that was the second Raya, the Shvatim and not the Karfet Gavri Iflik. But now the Gemara is going to focus on certain parts of the Braisa in greater detail. We started the Braisa by saying that in the times of Yeshua ben Nun it was Neschalek to 12 Shvatim. Also, Lava will be 13 Chalakim. Omamara. See, that's just the Shvatim Neschalek. Before Yeshua Shvatim, Idul Haman, who is the 13th Shevet? And Rishbam says we're not referring to Levi, and we're not referring to Ephraim or Manasseh. We're referring to something else. So who's that something else? And Rav Chisda l'Nasi. There's the Nasi, says Rishbam, l'melech ha-Mashiach. The Melech ha-Mashiach, he's going to go and get the 13th Chayvik. And even though the Gemara used the expression, l'shloish aser shvatim, lav dafk, we don't mean another matter. We mean the Melech ha-Mashiach, he's going to get a 13th chalik besides the 12th chalak for the rest of Klal Yisrael. The Chassid says in the Pasuk, for oyved ho'ir ya'avduhu mikol shifta Yisrael. What's the raya from that? Says Rishbam, because a person who happens to be a leader, especially a political leader, he shouldn't just think of the glamour of the covet. Oh, he's going to be on the front page of all of the newspapers. He has to also realize he has to be a tremendous oyved, meaning that the oil harabim mutal olav. He has to have the burden of the tzibur on him, and he has to make sure that his country becomes great again, and that they're going to bring back millions of jobs back to the country. So that's he is the ultimate oyved. He is the ultimate person that has the
place for great again.
In a sense. Anyway, so he's going to have all of the burdens of the tzibur on him, and therefore, as a result, ya'avduhu mikoshif to Yisrael, all the shvatim will give him a chelik of their nachla. So he's going to go and get 12 chalakim from each one of the shvatim. All that together will be one chelik. Whether it's all going to be dispersed or not, on the surface it sounds like it's dispersed a little here, a little there, but Mi'at Hashem, Melech HaMashiach will come, we'll see exactly how it's going to work out. So he's going to get a 13th chelik. But now the question is, it doesn't really say in this pasuk Ya'avduhu mikol shifti Yisrael that we're going to give him a chelik ba'aret. It just says that Ya'avdu, that the shifti Yisrael are all going to contribute, those that are going to provide services for the Melech HaMashiach, for that Oyved Ho'ir. It's only Rapapa Le'abaya. Eima Runger Bi'alma. Maybe Yavdu means that every one of the Shvatim will have to shtel to 5,000 or 10,000 civil servants to go and work for the king for free. The king needs, of course, a massive entourage of people that are going to accompany him and do whatever has to be done to take care of the palace and to take care of the grounds and take care of the needs, and you have to have all the government officials. So maybe that's what it means, Yavdu Mikoshev Tisra. We're going to appoint officials and ministers and civil servants from all over, from the various different shvatim. What exactly does Runger mean? So Rishbam brings for Rabbeinu Chananel about 10 lines from the bottom. Rabbeinu Chananel Pirish, Roin Ger. Roin Beloshin Para, Paras, is Yoin. In Persian, the word Roin means a day. The Ger is a Sochir. Keloi Meschir Yoin. So therefore, they're going to supply daily employees that are going to work on behalf of the king. So maybe that's what the Gemara, the pasuk means, Yavdu. We have another pasuk, Vanoiser Lanosi Mizeh Umizeh, the Trumas HaKodesh, Lachuza Soir. So Rishbam explains, Vanoiser Mizeh Umizeh means that he is going to receive, like Shirayim Ashtikala, the Nosi for the Melech HaMashiach, Mizeh Umizeh, from each one of the Shvatim, each one will shtel to Ashtikal Karka, and therefore he's going to have Noiser from each and every one, in addition to the Srumas HaKodesh, which Bam says that means besides the Mokum of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Chuzah Seir, that comes to exclude also the Mokum Ho'ir. So therefore, in addition to Shtiklef that he's going to get from all the other Shvatim, he's also going to have the Mokum HaMikdash and a place in the Ir, presumably he means a place in Yerushalayim. All of that will be belong to the Melech HaMashiach. Now we get to the next part, which you remember Remendel was asking about whilst we were learning the Braise earlier. And they went and Ulta had to make a certain allocation to allow for discrepancies the way we learned in the Havamina, in value between one property and the other. Like we said, that a property in Yehuda was worth five times the property in Gol, and Beis So'a in Yehuda had the same values as Chamesh So'im in Galil. So we said, the person Yehuda would have to go and give some money to appease the person in Galil that got the more inferior property. Shinemalek says in the Pasuk, Rav Limot, like we had the Pasuk before, the Rav and Ma'at over here is not talking about the quantity as much as the quality, to make up for the better property and the worse property, you have to go and give money.
The earlier version said kesef is like stuff. Is there any substantive difference?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
We have a sakti.
So that's that. Monetary. Yeah. I mean, of course, Baruch Hu is the one. So he's saying, well, Baruch Hu, now we're going to win the money as two separate issues. I mean, if of course Baruch Hu is mechalik, that means that he made the chiluk. So why are we paying money from one to the other?
If very good. So the answer is that not necessarily we're talking about the Shvatim now. We could be talking about the individuals within the Shevet. Since we said that Reuven is going to get the lot of, he won't get Akkoi and Genoiser, but he'll get whatever he gets, Dan, or whatever, Gushtan, or whatever he gets. So in that portion itself, thank you very much, some of the people could have gotten a more fertile property, and some could have gotten a less fertile property.
So you said this is in inter-Shvatim.
Intra. Shvatim, instead of inter between one shevet and the other, within the shevet itself. Exactly. As Frankti Mor Lamai, what's the purpose of giving the money? Ilema the Shufra, the Sanya, are you talking about Shufra meaning a better piece of property like an idiot? Sanya literally means from the Lashon Sina, it doesn't mean a hated property, but it means a zaburious type of property. Otu b'shuftani askinan, are we talking about imbeciles? Are we talking about fools? Meaning, why would anybody agree to go and get the worst property at the expense of that somebody else is getting a much, much better property? People should have demanded, I want to have the better property. Or, as Remendel was pointing out before, and as Rishbam points out over here, that if somebody has to get the inferior property, but then give me more. If I happen to be, for instance, in Galil, so I'm not in Yehuda, so I'm not going to get that base saw, which is so valuable, but give me the five saw in the Galil, since they are the equivalent monetarily. So don't give me money, give me actual real estate. After all, even if the first person at that time is going to go and get the discrepancy of money, that's only going to be a first generation thing. What about all future generations where his Einikloch and Ir Einikloch, etc., are all going to get the inferior property, the other one's going to get the better property?
The money is used up.
Right? And the money has been used up many, many times before as they go in his dope. Every generation has to give new money. So therefore they should have demanded qualitatively a better piece of property. Why are they giving money? This is what your kasha was, remember about 10 minutes ago. Don't make up the discrepancy in money. Make up the discrepancy by giving a larger lot or a smaller lot. That we were talking about giving money has to do with both properties are qualitatively basically the same. The difference was the distance to Yerushalayim. So you're wondering, what difference does it make? Difference to Yerushalayim? Rishbam says two things. Number one, everybody wants to be close to the Makom HaMikdash and not far away. If you want to go and bring Karbonis, if you want to come Oyle Regel, you want to visit Yerushalayim, you want to be close to Yerushalayim. But besides it, says Rishbam, there's also a security concern. And that is that a person who lives close to Yerushalayim, he's closer to the middle of Eretz Yisrael. Person who lives further away, he's closer to the border with the Eretz Amim, with the Goyim and the Arabs and the enemies that are surrounding us from all sides. Everybody wants to be within the border. Nobody wants to live near the border towns. Even today, unfortunately, you hear about those rackets, Rahman al-Islam, they always come into the border towns right over the border. Those people are always living nebuch in shelters and in fright, etc., etc. See, Rishbam, you see, L'Kroiv L'Choike, that's seven lines from the bottom of the Amud, the Rishbam, the Krever Choyka, Harkakoyis, the Yecholkin Beshava. They would go and split it up equally. That what? Mishle Kechman Akochush, Noita Yoiser, Ad Kidei Hayofa. Einachanami, someone in Golu would get five Sa'ah compared to the Yehuda guy who would get one Sa'ah. Al Misha Oile Gerolim, because of Yerushalayim, if it's someone who got close to Yerushalayim, Malamois, Lemisha Oile Gerolim, Barachim Yerushalayim. Why? Sherochik Geruahu. Everybody wants to be close to Makam HaMikdash, the Makam HaShchina. He has security concerns. You see? They had security concerns at the time of Chazal and the times of Yeshua as well. That's what we had in the Braisa. The Yehuda says, the Mishanafel Gerol B'Leil, the Golil, Noitul Hay saw and Kineget saw Shechaver Noitul Yehuda. That's what Itaka meant, not with Kesef, but he gets one saw, he gets five saw to make up for the difference or for the disparity. In Ami Mishum the comment on the comment, the Kurva Veroichka Mechalkin Miksovim Asil the Siyuv LaMeimar the saw Yehuda Shavuchom Hay saw and Migolu. Why? Not because of the fertile ground. Bishosh Yehuda Kurva Yishalayim Migolu Rachik Yoiser. In other words, even today you ask the real estate people and they'll say everything is based on three factors. Location, location, location. The Yehuda property and the Golan property can be exactly the same. But since Yehuda is next to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim was in Yehuda, Golan was far away, this is more valuable, that's less valuable.
This doesn't work historically though, because until after the Mishnah was destroyed in Shiloh, Yerushalayim was not the center of the Mikdash.
But they knew that Yerushalayim would be.
So for 400 some years that the Mishkan was in Shiloh, this actually didn't satisfy any of the people who had the land for those generations, worked the land for those generations. They were getting it based. It's like getting a property on the Upper West Side in 1700s. Yeah, it'll be very valuable in 200 years. Thank you very much. But for the lifetime of the people who are living here in those days, it's woods.
Because
Beis Mishkan was in Shiloh for 400 years.
Mishkan was still real estate.
So presumably those places which were close to Shiloh also fetched a greater penny at that time because of the fact that they were close to Shiloh to be able to bring Karbanis. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, so bottom line is that the Braisa said that for Kurva and Ruchka, for purposes of Kreiva and Rechoika, distances, there you didn't go and try to allocate based on sizes of land, but you made up the difference in money. And as the Gemara says now, but it's not so simple. When you're talking about the quality of the property itself, like the Gemara said before, that you have to go and give, a larger piece of property and a smaller piece of property, so that it should even itself out, it should equate. However, here we're talking about Karven Rachka, farther away and closer, of something like that, that is a machloikis, whether you paid off in money, or Yitaki gave the person a bigger piece of land. Since you live all the way in Gol and you're far from Yerushalayim, you get a five-saw land instead of a one-saw land. There's a machloikis, a blazer, and a mishur. Tana, in the Braise, it says, in addition, ach begoyer li yotze Yeshua v'kolik. As we know, whenever you have achin v'rakin mi'utun heim, so the ach comes to mimaya to exclude Yeshua and Kalif. What do you mean we exclude them? Elaim the leishakul klal, that they are the only two yidin in Kalif, so that did not get a portion. Ashton the lab did who shakul, did who mi'poya? Marach, they got the portions that didn't belong to them, like we had in the Braisa before. What did they get? We got from the Meraglim according to everybody, and from the Adas Korach, that in fact was a machloikas we had before between two Braises. According to one Braise, Yeshua Vekolid got that as well because of the Hekish by the Benois Slavchad, Avinu Meis, etc. According to the other Braise, the rest of the Shvatim of the 250 Misloin the Adas Korach, they got an extra portion, they didn't have to divvy it up to these 250 people because they didn't get a portion, and therefore everybody else got a slightly larger portion. But Lamaisa, Yeshua Vekolev certainly got the chelik of the Meraglim. So if they got somebody else's chelik, they didn't get their own chelik. Yeshua and Kolev were special that they didn't get their portions based on the Goyrol, but rather they got it based on Hashem's word himself. And this is not exactly on all fours with the previous Braisa, because the Braisa really was talking about the Goyro with respect to the Shvatim. It didn't sound like Yeshua and Kalim had their own special Goyrolis. It sounded like there were 12 Goyrolis in one Kalfi and 12 in the other Kalfi. Perhaps the what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that within each Sheva, they also used to go and draw lots, and Yehush V'Kolev didn't have to go and draw any lots because they got everything directly from Hashem's special portions. V'chziv, it says in the Pasuk, V'gabei Yehoshua, Al-Pi Hashem Nosnu Lo Yaseira Sheshoal Es Timnas Serach Bahar Ephraim. That's what Yeshua got. We're going to bring a raya shortly for Kolev as well, that he also got Al-Pi Hashem. But first, the Gemara goes off a little bit on a tangent, because here it says that what did Yehoshua receive? Timnas Serach. However, it says in one of the Amid Beis, Ksiv Serach, here it says Serach, but there's another Pasuk that says that they gave him Timnas Cheres. Now notice the word Cheres and Serach are the same oisius, true, but it has different names. Here it says Serach and here it's Cheres. So what's going on? See, Gemara has two pshatim. Both pshatim are basically the same, but in reverse. Amar Bluza, betchila peirisea Cheres, but the psaif peirisea Masrich. What does that mean? So it explains Rishbam that before Yeshua ben Nun and Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the Peiros were like hard earthenware, meaning that they were totally dry. They didn't have any moisture to them at all. Rishbam says, Ro'im kecheres hayovesh bli shuman. You went and you bit into a fruit and it tasted like hard as a rock, hard as a piece of wood, no juice, no gishmak, zero. However, after Yeshua ben Nun and Klal Yisrael came in, then Peiros say Masrichen. Now the word Masrichen itself has a bit of a stench attached to it. So what does that mean? Says Rishbam that the Peiros was so overflowing with Shuman, with Gutz and Geschmack and all the rest. On the other hand, if you left it too long, that Geschmack could also turn the Peiri and make it sour or rot more quickly. And therefore, it's a tremendous mala that it's full of juice and full of gishmak, but eat it quickly before chalila, it goes bad. So, Rishbam says that this masrichen is lemalyusa. It's telling us how good the peiros were, but make sure to go and eat them quickly before they go bad, go sour, go rat. Dekri Amri, but there's another version. Patchila masrichen. Before Klal Yisrael came in and it was still belonged to the Umas HaOilam, to the Sheva Amamim, then the Peiros were Masrichen. That means that they often went sour, went bad, rotted very quickly. So anytime you went to somebody's house and you asked them for a fruit, you already smelled a bad odor. Lepsoif, however, after Yeshua ben Nun came and Klal Yisrael came in, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu made the Peiros to be more normal, if you will, so they wouldn't be overly juicy, but normal juicy, and therefore he dried them up somewhat, and therefore the fruit would not spoil that quickly, and they would have a longer shelf life. Therefore, it's a mal. Anyway, we got off on a tangent because Serach and Cheres. But now getting back to Kolev, Kolev also got up Yashem. But you know the Kolev as Chevron Kashadiber Moshe, for Yerush Misham as Shloisha Bnei Yuanok. Now this Kashadiber Moshe doesn't say about Hashem, but Rishbam says Kashadiber Moshe that he said in the name of Hashem that the Kodesh Baruch Hu said about Kolev, V'loi etein es ha'aretz asher dorach bo ulevonav. Now which place was that? That of course was Chevron. Why Chevron? Because everybody knows the famous Agoda which Rishbam quotes, that Chevron was concerned about the influence of the other ten Meraglim, and therefore he went to Mimishtateach. I'm sorry, what did I say? I'm sorry. That Kolev was concerned about the influence of the other Meraglim, and therefore he went to Mishtateach on the Ma'oras HaMachpela to the Kibrei Tzadikim. In fact, this Agoda is the primary source for all of the Rishonim when they deal with the very difficult Shaila, that it says in the Pasuk, a person is not to be a Choyver Chover, nor a Doirish El HaMesim. And there were those Rishonim that said Doirish El HaMesim means that you're not supposed to go to a Beis HaChaim and start talking to Mesim, and certainly what people do today, that they go to Tzadikim and Mishtatech and they ask them for all types of help, and that they should be emissaries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or they're Dischus. Isn't that all part and parcel of this Doirish El HaMesim? And the Rishonim that say that it's not a problem bring this Agadata about the fact that we already find the times of Kolev that he went to Kibbutz Tzadikim, and nobody says, ah, Kolev, you're being Doirish El HaMesim. They say that that's one of the first sources, that not only is this proper, but it's appropriate, and it's certainly permissible, etc. Nevertheless, their briskers, I believe, and others that take the Seder Shalom Meisim very, very literally. I'm sure they have a Rambam somewhere that they can hang their hats on, and therefore many of them do not go to a Beis HaChaim. But getting, we mean not a time of burial, we mean in future years for being Seder Shalom Meisim. Anyway, we're getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara tells us that Kolev got a chelik in the Chevron. Frank the Imari got Chevron and Chevron Ir Miklat Hava. Chamir Ir Miklat. And Ir Miklat belonged to the Levium. And if it belonged to the Levium, and you took away one of the Ari Levium and you gave it to Kalev. So Timara Omer Abaye Par Varha. We don't mean Chevron itself, we really mean the Glilais, the suburbs of Chevron. A room Chevron, there are a whole bunch of towns and villages, etc. Oh, that's what they gave to Kalev. Not Chevron itself, but the cities and Chatzerim and the Sovis, things the suburbs are out. Okay, we start a brand new Mishnah, Dr. Mishnah. The Mishnah, as we'll see when we go through it, is difficult to understand at first blick, first time you look at it. And in fact, the Gemara, it's Chmuchin, exactly what does the Mishnah mean? The Gemara is ultimately going to bring four separate Pshatim. They're going to set aside the first three pshatim, and we're going to be left with pshat number four all the way at the end. So how does the Mishnah begin? Echad ben v'echad abas ben achla. Both son and daughter are exactly the same ben achla. Even before you continue, people should be screaming, what? Ben and bas are the same ben achla. After all, if they're bonim,
bonim and bonos, then the bonos get nothing.
If they're bonim and bonos, only the bonim get. And it's only if there are no bonim, that's when the bonis do get. So what's this? Echad ben v'echad ben achla, both the same, and they're not the same at all. There are major differences. And what are the differences? Elisha ben noitul bishnai benichsi ab. The ben gets a double portion benichsi ab. Ben noitul bishnai benichsi ab, but he doesn't get a double portion benichsi ab. Is that a difference between ben and bas? We're saying echad ben, both the ben and bas are the same. But there's a big difference. You know what the difference is? That the ben gets a double portion by the ab, but he doesn't get a double portion by the ab. And what about the bas? So as you see, the Mishnah is difficult to understand superficially. Finally, if and when father and or mother pass away, and the children now want to divide up the Yerusha, even though Minat Torah, if there are bonim, they take everything, leave nothing for the bonis. However, we want that the girls should be fed, and we don't want to have to be choizer lapsochim. After all, it's passage for girls to go and run around chasashom to solicit food, etc. Kol kvud bas melech panima. They automatically get a priority right to mezoinus, but only from nichsi av and not from the nichsi aim, as we'll see more in the gemara. Anyway, so we start again off the Mishnah. Frank Dimar, my yechad ben yechad abas l'nachlo. What does that mean? Even with the yarsi kiadot that they both yarshin together as one. Hatanan, we had our Mishnah at the beginning of our parak. Ben koydim labas, and not only ben koydim labas. Kol yotzi yerecha shul ben koydim labas. All of the yotzi yerecha, all of the einiklach of the ben, come before the bas. We had that famous gemara before that if you had the bas ha ben and you had the bas together, there were the tzedoikim that were saying, no, let them go and split. This is a girl, that's a girl. This is our daughter, this is our granddaughter. If the granddaughter gets, certainly the daughter should get. So Rabbi Yechman Zakai had to go and scream at them, he shouted the, and he had to bring the rayas from Reis Lavchad, that that's not the halach. Anyway, what do we see? Ben comes before Bas, and even the children and the Eimiklach of the Ben come before the Bas. So what's this Echad Ben V'yesh Bas Menachla? L'choyr, it doesn't make sense. See, Mar is getting four terutim. Simon, the simon for the two, for the four terutim is nafsham. How is nafsham a simon? Because these are four letters that are merames, the four names of Amiroim that are going to give answers. The first one is going to be Rav Nachman. That's the nun. Then the pei is from Rav Papa, and then the shin is Rav Ashi, and the mem is going to be from Marbar Rav Ashi, as we'll see in the Gemara. Omer Nachman Yitzchak, Hakikom Shab Mishnah Zazay. Both the ben and the bas get beroi kibemuchzak. What means that they get beroi kibemuchzak? We're not talking about the chaylik b'choyre now, but rather we're talking about what happens if a ben and a bas separately, ben and bas together don't yashin. That's for sure. But if they're only banim, or there could be banim and banis, but if it's only the banim that are yashni, or if there are no banim and you only have banis and the banis are yashni, in both cases, each one of them had a grandfather and each one had a father. Normally, the way the teva oilam is, the grandfather would pass away first. The father would yashin from that grandfather, and now the children would yashin from their father. What happens if Chas Hashem was the other way around? Rachman Litzlan, that the father passed away first, and the bonim, or separately, the bonois, happen to be Nebuch Yisoymim or Yisoymois, and they still have a Zayda, Baruch Hashem. But the Zayda eventually passes away as well, and now the Yisoymim or Yisoymois want to go and yashin from their Zayda. They could be yashing on their own, or they could be sharing it together with the brothers or the sisters. Well, it wouldn't be the sisters, but the brothers of that father who had passed away already 5 or 10 or 20 years ago. Now, that father never came into the Nechasim. Why did he come to the Nechasim? Because, unfortunately, he passed away. He predeceased his father, the grandfather of the heirs who are now on the scene. So we know that there's a special din by a bechor. We know there's a special din by a baal, that they're not noitel b'ro'uy kibemuchsak. Here, however, these emiklach, these ears, will get b'ro'uy kibemuchsak, meaning that even though their father never had these nechosim in his possession during his lifetime, and he died before the grandfather, when the grandfather dies and leaves over the Yerusha now for their father who already passed away, those nechosim will now pass to these einiklach as if the father had received them himself. So therefore they are noitel b'roi. Roi means that they should have been, could have been, would have been, but lamaisa did not land up in the hands of their father because the father predeceased the grandfather. They get that portion as if it was musik. So that's what the mission is coming to tell you, that they get b'roi kim musik. If that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you, we had that in the earlier Mishnah, that B'nai Tzlofchot not B'shloshe Chalokim and Nachla. Chalik Avin Shoyim Mitzim Mitzrayim, Tzlofchot own Chalik. But besides that, the Chalkoi, and also his Chalik in Echav B'nichsei Chayfer. Whatever the other brothers, and remember Rishbam had an example, maybe there were eight brothers altogether, children, sons of Chayfer. So Tzlofchot was one out of the eight. So he would get a portion, but unfortunately he died before Chayfer died, and therefore whatever chedek he would have gotten, what happened to that chedek? It went to the daughters, to the einiklach of Chayfer. And that's what the Mishnah is telling you, that the Slavchot got a double portion. One portion from the Slavchot's own portion, because he was one of the Yoytzei Mitzrayim, and also the portion of Chayfer. Not the same portion, they got one-eighth of the portion of Chayfer. Tzlofchot never came into possession of the Nichse Chayfer. Dozhok the Mishnah, that they got that portion because they were noitel b'ro'uy kibemuchsik. Rishbam says, it's not that we know for sure that Tzlofchot passed away before Chayfer, but that's certainly the sound of the Mishnah. Because if Chayfer passed away first, and Tzlofchot second, it's not that they are getting two separate chalakim, they're just yarshining from Tzlofchot all of his nechasim, which included not only his chedek baretz, but the chedek of Chayfer. So it's not as if they are subdividing with the Echab and Nichsei Chayfer, they're just getting Tzlofchot's portion in the Nichsei Chayfer. So therefore the sound of the Mishnah is that Tzlofchot passed away first, and then Chayfer passed away second.
Isn't it relevant?
It's very relevant.
If let's assume Tzlofchot passed away, so automatically Chayfer gets there's two Yerushas that they you get the one Yerusha, then the Mechalik goes back to the father, right? And Mehamesha or Sechaim.
You're talking according to Rabbi Yonasan. Our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yoshe or Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. They both do not hold of this Chazara. They hold that it goes to the Yoytzei Mitzrayim. The reason why you're bringing up Rabbi Yonasan is because Rabbi Yonasan it goes Leboi Yoretz. There's another pasuk that says Shmoyis Matzis Avoyisim Yincholu, that it goes back to the Yoytzei Mitzrayim. He says the boy Oretz, they had to cough it up and send it back up. But the Mishnah, the Gemara said before, is going according to the Mandiyamrim, the Yashia and the Shimon Elazar, that holds it goes to the Yoytzei Mitzrayim, and therefore there is no coughing up and reverting and chazar. So both Tzlofchot and Chayfer received a chedek Baretz They didn't receive it physically, but they received the right title and interest to it. And when they passed away, their eniklach were zoicha in that chedek when they came into Eretz Yisrael, including the Bnei Slavchad. So now the Mishnah says that they had two chalakim. There's a third chedek, which we're not discussing at the moment. One chedek that they had from Slavchad himself, their father, and also the chedek that Slavchad had in their grandfather. So now Rishbam says, it sounds like that Slavchad passed away first, and that's why we're talking about that they are taking now a chelik of Chayfer. Because had Chayfer passed away first, then whatever Chayfer would have received, could have received, should have received, but didn't because he passed away in the Midbar, would already have been subdivided at that time among the eight children, the other seven, as well as Slavchad. And now when Slavchad subsequently passes away, then they would receive their chelik through from Slavchad. It's not, there's no difference in halacha which way you're learning. It's just in terminology. The fact that the Mishnah uses the expression, it sounds like that it's including even a situation where Slavchad passed away first, and Chayfer passed away second, and they're getting now Beroy Kimamuchzik, the portion that their father could have received, should have received, but never received because he predeceased his father. The Oid. So, number one, that pshat l'choyde doesn't shtim, because I don't need a Mishnah to tell us that I already learned it in the prior Mishnah about the Mnoi Slavchad. The Oid, and besides that, my Ella. What does it have to do with Ella, Shaben, Noitel, Bishnai, Ben, Echziah? We're not even talking about b'choyde at all. We're just talking about the din of Roykim and Mokhzik. What's a Ben, Ben, Echziah, Echziah, Ben, Echziah, Ein? Choyde has nothing to do with it. Zogti Gemara Ella. The Oid, my Ella. Ella Amra Papa. Each time we're going to have two Ellas. One is going to be Void my Ella. What's the Ella in the Mishnah? Ella Shabbat. Ella, the new Pshat is Ella Amra Papa. This is the second Pshat. This is the pay of the Nafsham. Hachik Amar. Echad Ben V'yechad Abbas Noit Mechelik B'Bechoyra. Ooh. It's coming to tell you that both a Ben and a Bas get a Chelik B'Bechoyra. That doesn't mean that a Bas gets a double portion. Only boys get double portions. If you have a Bechor in the family, and there are multiple kids, the Bechor gets a double portion. If you only have Bonois, they split it up, even Stephen said. By Bonois Slavchad, it would be, each one gets 1/5, 20%. The eldest of the Bonois Slavchad, which was Bechor Machla, would not get a double portion. What does it mean? Echad ben v'echabas, what we mean is, going back to the case of Slavchad, that Slavchad was a Bechor, and therefore he got a double portion. Now the Bonois, they go and get that double portion that Slavchad would have gotten, should have gotten, had Slavchad been alive at the time that Chayfer passed away. And therefore, not only would a Ben get that double portion in Slavchad, of Slavchad, but also in the case of Taka, the Mnoi Slavchad, they took that double portion that their father would have gotten. So, look, if that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you, that's the same Mishnah which we were just quoting. Right. That the third portion that the Mnoi Slavchad got was, that their father was a Bechar, and he's Noitel Shnei Chalakim, and therefore they Yarshin that Shnei Chalakim. So, what do I need our Mishnah to tell us that? V'oid my Ella. And what does the Mishnah continue on? Ella Shaben Noitel Vishnaim Nechsiav, Venoitel Vishnaim Nechsiav. Who's talking about Nechsiav, Nechsiav? How does that come in? And therefore, that pshat is also nidche. Elam Rav Ashi, so we come to pshat number three, which is the shin of the nafsham, Rav Ashi. Echad ben ben habonu v'yechad bas ben habonois. Imam Yirash kol nechosai devorav kayyamin. Keman kebyechem ben broika. Well, what is the Gemara talking about? Normally, you have to make sure you're not masnal mashakos about Torah. And if the Torah says that you have to give the banim, don't give the banois. If the Torah says give the banois because there are no banim, give the banois. Don't give the achim, don't give the brothers, meaning the uncles, etc. You got to go and give like the Torah says. Berachim Roika says, however, there is an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is if you're giving to someone who is in the category of being an heir, then you can go and give him a larger portion to the exclusion of others. For instance, if the person has five sons, normally according to the Torah, you'd have to give each one 20%. If the oldest one is a Bechor, you have to go and give him a double portion. What happens if he doesn't particularly like all of the sons? Or all the sons happen to be multimillionaires except for one of them. And therefore he says, I'm giving my entire estate to my son Yanko. even though I know I should be giving to Beryl and Shmerel and the others, but I want to isolate and only give to this one individual son. Is this permissible? Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, yes, it is permissible. How does he know this? It's based on a pasuk in Mishnah. We're going to have that in a later Mishnah. It says in the pasuk, "Biyoyim hanchiloi es bonav shemanchal bonav kol mash yirtza." Since it's biyoyim hanchiloi, he is now bequeathing his estate to his bonav. What is he bequeathing? He dies and it goes automatically to the bonav. No, he has a right to be manchal bonav according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. But for instance, if the person has a whole bunch of sons and he has daughters, he's not allowed to give to a daughter. But among the sons, he can choose and pick if he wants to and give everything to one or more of the sons, or give one of them 80% and the rest of them 20%, and so on and so forth. Come on, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. So, maybe that's a pshat in the Mishnah. If a person has bonim, with or without additional bonnois, and therefore the bonim are all going to yarshin, he can go and isolate one particular one of the bonim and say, I'm giving you more than everybody else, or I'm giving you the entire estate. And the same thing applies to Echad Abbas. If they're only bonnois, he can go and identify one of the bonnois and give Sprinza more than he gives Chanela and the Miral and the Miriam and then Surah, or whatever. This is permissible according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. If that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you, come on, that's a Mishnah later on. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. So what do we need this in our Mishnah for? Maybe you're going to tell me that Rabbeinu HaKadosh specially brought it in our Mishnah to tell you, I know that there is Taka Machloikas later on, this is a Das Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, but I'm putting in a Stam Mishnah to tell you that's the Halacha. Stam Yachach Machloikas. If you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha first, and then you have a Stam Mishnah, then that's Taka the Psak, we pass like the Stam Mishnah. But if you have a Stam first, and then a Machloikas, Stam Yachach Machloikas, ain't a Lochikas Stam. So what have we accomplished by codifying in our Mishnah when we're going to have the Machloikas later on? V'yoid my Ella, we're still stuck with that Ella question. What does it have to do with the Ben Noitel Pishnayim and Nichseyav? And now we have the final pshat. Ella Mamar Baravashi, and that's the Mem of Nafsham. Hachik Amar Echad Ben, the Echad Abbas, Shavin Benichse Eim Ubenichse Ho'av. Both the Ben and the Bas, both are Yorshim in the Nichse Eim and the Nichse Av. Meaning, I don't know why the Gemara brought Eim before Av, but regardless, as we know, in the Torah it says, Ish Kiyomus Avein Ein Loi, that we go and give the, you give it to the Ben. And if not Ben, then you go and give to the Bani. So we see Benichse Av. Same thing Benichse Eim, we had Gemaras before, and that was, of course, the second case in our Mishnah, those that are Manchel Ve'en Anoichel, and those that are Noichel Ve'en Manchel, that the mother gives to the children, but the children don't give back to the mother. So both a son and a daughter go and take a Yerusha Benichse Eim, just like you take a Yerusha Benichse Av. Meaning the daughters do when there are no sons. The Echad Ben V'Echad Bas means either the Bonim exclusively or the Bonois exclusively. They both take a portion, B'nichse Eim, if the mother passes away or the father passes away. Ella, but now the Mishnah tells us, but there are two exceptions. Ella, Shaben Noitel B'Shnayim B'nichse Av, Ben Noitel B'Shnayim B'nichse Eim, that when the Ben is not only a son, but he's also a Bechor, then he gets a double portion B'nichse Av, but he does not get a double portion B'nichse Eim. And, says Rishban, and Abbas doesn't get a chelik b'chayra in either one. Because the whole din of b'chayra only applies to the boys. Loi mishpat b'chayra, loi metavov, nishmet an aleph. It comes to tell you, only boys get a double portion. And loi also talking about the av, that only by the av is there a double portion for the b'chayra. As well as, there's another distinction, and that is that the bonois go and get mezoinis menichse av and not menichse eim. So therefore, getting back to our Mishnah now, according to the final pshat of our Gemara, the Mishnah now reads very nicely. Both of them go and get Yerusha, they get portions both when their father passes away, chas v'shalom, or when their mother passes away. When we say both, that means exclusively, either only banim, one or the other, either banim or banis, but both of them, when they receive both from nechse av, and they receive from nechse eim. Ella, however, there is a difference. By the banim, there's still the concept of bechor, and therefore, if one of the banim is a bechor, he gets a double portion of nechse av, but he does not get a double portion of nichse. Mash enkin, the bonois don't get a double portion in either one. And then there's another difference, that the bonois have a superiority, if you will, over the bonim, that if it's a small estate, they get mezonos first, before the bonim get any yerusha. But that only applies again to Nechse Av. It does not apply to the Nechse Av. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.